thing. I just want to share the verse that has been given to me, my assignment, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this time that we have. Once again, we thank you for just the messages and even those that I'd listened into driving in and earlier today via live stream, and just being encouraged by some of the points that each speaker has brought out, and just reminded of the privilege that we have to serve you and live for you. Lord, today, once again, we just come before you, seeking you, the source of our strength, where our help comes from, where we glean, where we learn, where we grow, but also where we are transformed. And so, Lord, we thank you for that ever-present and also empowering work of the Holy Spirit that is continuing to work in and through our lives, as your word says, for you, both to will and to do for your good pleasure. And so I ask once again that you would bless this time that we have as we look to your word. As we open it, I pray that we would open up our hearts. We want to know more of you. We want to learn of you. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul's thought here behind this whole thing, as you kind of look at chapter 15, I want to give you guys just somewhat of an idea. If you were just to take chapter 15 and you were to look at what he's saying here, you would find that the prologue really is the beginning couple of verses of the chapter. This is what he has to say. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand." Okay, they stand in the gospel. And in a sense, you can kind of take what Pastor Mike Urcioli said in regards to, you know, the love that we are to display with one another. The best way that we understand what godly love is or biblical love is found in the message of the gospel. That is the gospel message. Its foundations, its essence is God's love. And the gospel message also reveals to us, because God is love, man can be set free, he can be delivered, and there is hope, right? And so all of this to say that Paul is stating very clearly here, as he says, that in the same way that you also received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you believed, listen to this, in vain. Unless you believed in vain. Then he goes on to say, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, and on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, listen to this, guys. What we see here in 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul is kind of laying out doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection. And this really, he goes into a series, this is the passage that we use, "If Christ had not been, you know, raised from the dead, we would be the most miserable people. We'd be lost, period. There would be nothing valid in the gospel message that we proclaim and preach." And so the encouragement here that we find in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, is Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to maintain faithful to what he's taught them. To remain faithful to what you've been taught. And the context really is that Christ is risen from the dead. So we go forth with a living gospel and the ability to do a work for the Lord, advancing his kingdom, because the foundation of what we do is built upon who Christ is and the message that we proclaim and declare. So we look at that whole context, and then he goes on to say what we would call the epilogue, the closing of the chapter, is he says the verse that I just read to you. He says that, "Therefore, because Christ is risen from the dead, because you are saved, because you've received the gospel, because it is true, because it is real, because it is a sure foundation," he goes on to say, "Beloved, be steadfast and immovable always." Think about this. To be spiritually grounded is what he's saying. And I love how, you know, Michael Torres just kind of pointed out, you know, just that we're to be in the word and that we're to be, you know, resting and we're to be trusting. But, you know, in the same manner, too, we are also to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And oftentimes, people view ministry as a job or a task that needs to get done. It's an opportunity for the Spirit to be at work in your life. People want to be spiritual. People want to sound spiritual. Now, I'm not saying this is you guys. I'm just speaking in general. And I'm just saying that the best way for us to be what God's called us to be is be dead to ourselves and alive to Christ so that the Spirit of God can work in us. Listen, when you can begin to explain to people how well you do ministry and why it's so successful, you're not walking in the Spirit. When you can't explain it and all you can say is, it's all the Lord, now you're walking in the Spirit. Remember, the encouragement to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6 is that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, thus saith the Lord. And the greatest effective tool for ministry is to be led by the Spirit. He goes on to say this, to be steadfast. Steadfast in what? To be firm. Why do we serve? The mentality I always encourage people is I say, look, ministry is not, you know, oh man, I have to go do this. No, ministry is I get to do this. It's not a have to, it's a I get to. I get to go and be a part of something that is bigger than me, advancing the kingdom, right? And you know, I remember as a young Christian coming up in ministry, you know, the ministry that I was, you know, born again at, their emphasis was service. I mean, but it wasn't like how I'm serving the Lord today. You know, I think sometimes people get this idea that pastors are their pastors. No, we're servants. We're servants. Our ministry is the pastorship. We're still servants. We haven't arrived. We're not better than the person that's an usher at all whatsoever. Yeah, if we're teaching the word, we see that admonishment, right? That reminder that there's some things that are going to come with you preaching and teaching the word, obviously. But we're all servants of the Lord. We're all achieving the same purpose, and that is so Christ can be glorified in our lives. I mean, to really think about God uses us. I mean, have you ever just thought about that for a moment? Just, I do. I often think, God, why me? Right? Why me? But it's that thought that when you read the word, it's like, why not? I mean, you look at 1 Corinthians and you see in chapter 1 that God chooses the least likeliest of all people. There's a plaque in our church, and you guys have heard this model before, that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And oftentimes we come and we say, Lord, here's what I have to offer. I'm good at this and I'm good at that. Now, you know, I think that could go both ways, right? But ultimately, God doesn't really need your talents. He's God. I often say this in ministry. Some people say, well, what is the qualification of ministry in your church? Some churches have a list of books you need to read. I don't. I tell them, love the people. If you love the people, you're going to serve them well. You know, and the people that are in ministry, at least in our church, I don't have a certain way of how I find people. I don't look at the person who's like the yes person and will do anything I say. And though there's a lot of those, you know, I don't look for that. When I pray for certain things, positions in ministry to be fulfilled or filled, the person that is in ministry is never really my first choice. You know, so like I'm praying, right? And the Lord highlights a person, and then I say, no, not them. And the Lord's like, that's God, I don't like him. You know, it's like, I don't even know him, you know? And the Lord's like, well, and I have to be okay with God's choice. And you know what's interesting? Is that I can sit back and look at least in our fellowship, and I can honestly say, I know that these are the people that God has placed there. These are not people that I placed. The Lord's placed them. And at times I might not see what God is doing in the beginning with the people. But I realize later on that the Lord has not only placed them there to advance his kingdom in the ministry that he's called us to do where we're at in the community that we're in, but he's also placed them there to help me to continue to do what he's called me to do. See, I can't minister to everybody. I'm not one of those ones that you know, where it's like, you know, oh, only I can pray for the people and only I can do this. I got a lot of, you know, leaders in the church. I do my thing a little bit different in church leadership. I'm not too sure what your structure is here, but I have elders, I have teaching elders, and I have ruling elders. Taken from Paul's letter to Timothy. Let those who rule, let the elders who rule, and let the elders who teach. And I'm thankful for the group of elders and leaders. But the idea behind all of this is, what are we doing it for and who are we doing it for? It's always been God's choice for the people that serve in the ministry. But then again, who is it that we're doing it for? And you know, when you look at this, it's always an encouraging thing to remind people who we're doing it for. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it for a denomination. We're not doing it for, you know, Pastor Raul. We're doing it for Jesus. At the end of the day, that's who we're doing it for. And he goes on to say here that to be steadfast and immovable always. Well, there's a way to do that. There's a way to be steadfast. You know, the Bible, the warning that we see in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, you know, it says, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. You know, people can be, if they're not grounded and rooted, you know, you can get lost in what you're doing it for. This is what Paul is saying in Ephesians 4. But always be reminded of the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is the advancement of the kingdom. That God's inviting you to be a part of something that is far beyond your ability to even comprehend or understand. And the prerequisite for ministry is the blood of Jesus. You got to be born again to serve in this kingdom that God's invited. Just think about this. You know, we live in a world where we pursue academics, and we go to college. I'm not opposed to any of that, okay? I'm not opposed to that. You know, before, when I used to say things like this, you know, people would be like, yeah, you know, you talk about that because you didn't go to school. I did. I got my GED when I was in prison, man. You know what I mean? But hey, I got it. Amen? Good. Glad you guys respect that. Hey. But, you know, and then the privilege now. I'm a student. I'm in school. I just started seminary not too long ago, working on my master's. And I realized that, yeah, you look at all of this and you say, hey, all this stuff, what are we doing this for? You know, before I probably would have loved to be in seminary for the sake of, like, I want to be a pastor one day, because that's what life is. We get involved in all these things. We get involved in the race. Those that are in the corporate world, you're climbing the corporate ladder. There's a lot there. I think you learn a lot from perhaps a pastor who's lived that life and knows what it is to kind of, you know, dog others, to put yourself one up, because that's what that whole corporate world is like, right? But when you get in the kingdom, it's nothing like that at all. I mean, God will take the most effective person that was really good out there in the corporate world, and he'll just, like, you're going to be the janitor of the church. Because his kingdom, as Jesus said, is not of this world. So we could never approach ministry with the mindset of, hey, you know what, I need to come here because I have something to offer. Listen, guys, we, David, myself, and you guys, we are not God's greatest gift to the church. We've been given a privilege to serve people, to serve others, and to advance a kingdom that is far greater than our minds could even comprehend. He goes on to say here that we're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. What does it mean to abound? Does it mean to grow and become a leader and get up there? It should never be about titles. It should always be about making Jesus known. You know, I as a young pastor, you know, planting the church and watching the ministry grow, you know, there's a little bit of pride. I'm going to be honest with you guys. A little bit of pride that gets in there, you know. And you start, like, raw. You know, you get guys like that calling you, like, hey, you know, I got this kind of going on. I'm not imitating him just because, you know, he's talking. I'm just saying. It's kind of how I do it. That's everybody's voice, okay? So, I'm just saying, just like, hey, you know, I got this kind of going on, this and that, you know, what do you think, you know, and I get that a lot, you know, and in the early stages when the ministry was growing, I used to be like, oh man, you know, they're coming to me because I know what I'm doing. And the Lord's like, do you? Well, let me shake your tree a little bit. Let me rattle you just a bit. And I've seen the Lord do this in ministry, constantly reminding me that it's not mine, it's His. And that He could easily bring someone else and put them there. And I've learned so much in that. A true follower of Christ is one who lets go of control. If there's anything you jot down, understand this. It's not really much we can tell you, but be in your word and understand that it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we even have the privilege to be sitting here right now. And understanding that the Lord desires to use us for His honor and for His glory. It's a privilege. I'm still excited today about going and serving in church as the day that I was when I became born again 19 years ago. Ministry still excites me. I just want to be, you know, among the body of Christ at church and excited and motivated behind all these things. But I've had to learn some things. There are times when it was about me and I wasn't abounding in the work of the Lord. I was abounding in my work. And I've always fell short. And God had to take time in my own personal life and show me some things about me and say, listen, the only way this is going to work is if you get on my program, because your program doesn't work. And the quicker you learn this, the more joy you'll have in ministry. Listen, it's an amazing thing to have senior pastors come and share. I'm real. I could give you guys the teaching of this, turn this into a Bible study. I just want to speak to you guys like I speak to our leaders at our church. You guys are blessed to have an opportunity to serve. Doesn't matter how big the church is. You know, the Lord, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice when one soul. Well, there's more than one soul that comes here to this fellowship. And the Lord's given you an abundance of souls and many more that are going to come. And I'll never forget this. When we were what we call a small church, this lady came up to me and she said, Pastor, when's the church going to grow? And oh, that was like a jab to my heart. But I didn't let her see it. I was smiling. You know that one? You're just like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so anyways. And I'm just like, in my mind, I'm like, God, give me something, please. Like, this is a little lady. Like, I don't want to the flesh right now, you know, and I'm from the hood, guys. I got to be honest with you. You know what I mean? So I'm more like, man, who does this old lady think she is? Anyway, so I'm looking at her and I'm just kind of, you know, you got your arms. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. And then the Lord. I just says, when you grow. She said, excuse me? I was like, it was the Lord, not me. And she says, what do you mean by that? I says, when we grow spiritually, God will bring more people that He can entrust us with. I go, just think about this. I says, you're an older woman, and I'm sure that, you know, your children, you've raised them and you cared for them. She's like, yes, I have. And I says, okay. And so let's go back to those years when your children were little and they were babies, right? And you needed to leave them with someone. Would you leave them with an immature, you know, teenager that was not responsible? But yet, you know, they would care for them, but you're going to have to be worrying if you leave them with them. Or would you leave them with an older person who perhaps maybe has already had some children and is a little bit more mature, and that way when you leave them, you don't have to. And she says, yeah. And I says, so when we grow, when we learn to take care of His children, because they're His. And you know, that spoke more to me than it, I mean, she thanked me. She goes, let's pray. So we prayed together, and the Lord bless her heart. She's still at our fellowship to this day and always encouraged and reminded of just that encouragement. But the truth of the matter is that the reality is that's it. This is not ours. The songs we sang, they're not yours. The sermons we taught, I was up hearing from the Lord. It's not yours. This facility and the people that walk through these doors do not belong to you. They are the Lord's. And Jesus gave his life for the ministry. And the least we can do is give our lives for the kingdom as well. To serve him, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Why would that have to be said? Sometimes some people think, I'm tired. Ministry's not growing. God, when is it? What about that dream I had, Lord? And maybe I'm talking more about pastors, you know, kind of thing. But I think every ministry should look at that, you know? God, I really thought I was called to this here. Know that there's not one thing that God does not see that you do for him. He sees it all. He sees it all. There's not one area of ministry that you do for the Lord that he doesn't see and does not notice. And let me tell you, we make bad decisions at times, right? Amen. God bless you. All right, good. I'm one of those ones. I look for moral support when I'm speaking, okay? But we make bad decisions. Listen, here's the awesome thing about servicing to the Lord. I've even seen the Lord take my bad decisions and still bless them. Because we're his. And he loves us. Yeah, we learn in it. But they that labor in the Lord, labor not in vain. Don't, as the passage in Galatians 6:9, don't grow weary in doing good. Like, there's a reward, and guys, listen, I know that in the sight of it, God just gives us glimpses of it by us seeing perhaps maybe the ministry grow or the fulfillment that we get in it, or man, Lord, thank you, this is so good, but the greatest reward we're going to receive, Jesus said in Revelation, he says, when I come back, he says, I'm coming back, my reward is with me. And I know people, we talk in these terms of like, you know, the crowns and the jewels in the crown, like, I get all that, but the greatest reward is worshiping Jesus. You know, like what we do it for. You know, what is it that we do it for? You know, people, it's the whole thing of why we're serving. We're serving because God is saying, you know what? I want you to help me advance my kingdom. And this is your guys' community. And you guys do it together. And you take steps forward. You pray for one another. You fellowship with one another. You encourage one another. You be a blessing to one another. And you know, when that's really strong, it doesn't matter what happens. Listen, as you know, as Mike, Pastor Mike Irsioli talked about, you know, trials, and these things do hit us. Trials do happen. I've seen pastors discouraged in ministry. Very discouraged, sad. I've seen pastors emotional. I mean, I'm emotional, but I've seen them emotional. It's like they just see a low attendance, one service. They're like, oh my goodness, what did I do? Well, you didn't do anything because it's not yours. Relieve yourself from the burden. Oh, my finances are going down. Well, okay, well then, you know what? They're really his finances, not yours. When you start to say, you know what, God, you know, the people say, you know, Pastor Chuck, he taught us well. He says, where God guides, he provides. My philosophy always been, if it's his will, it's his bill. You ain't got to worry about it, right? He's going to take care of it. You know, people are like, oh, Pastor, you got great faith. You know, it's like, well, no, I mean, it's just, God's going to do it. It's just the way the Lord works. And if the money doesn't come through, then maybe that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You get that Cinderella syndrome, trying to, you know, put the ministry on and fit into it, and it's not even the ministry God's called him to. Right? Walking around all jacked up. But the point The point is this, is that rest in the goodness of God. You should never strive in ministry. Because if you have to strive to get it, as Pastor Chuck said, you'll have to strive to keep it. I want to give you guys, and I want to close with this thought. I'm sorry I didn't give you a 5-point sermon. When I started out in the ministry, and I knew that the Bible study group that I started was going to be a church, I didn't set out that way. It was just I wanted to teach the word. And then this thing just started to grow. I didn't know what to do with it. And finally one day somebody came to me and they said, you know what, you need to take this serious. And I looked at him and I'm like, I am serious. I'm here, right? I'm coming and serving. I'm preparing for it. No, they said, no, you need to take this serious. I said, why? They said, this is not a Bible study group. This is a church. And I was just like, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about. And then this little tiny kid came after the Bible study and he just walked by us out. He had been attending with his older sister and he's just a little tiny boy. And he walked by me and he just looked up at me and he says, hey, Pastor David. That's how he said it. He called me pastor. And I wasn't a pastor. And I says, yeah. His name was Choo Choo. I used to call him Choo Choo Train. Hey, Choo Choo Train. And he just says, Pastor David, hi. And we walked away. And the guy just looked at me and he says, pastor. It was a little kid that called me pastor. And I remember I walked away from that, driving back and thinking, Lord, do you speak through children? And I realized there when the Lord was calling me to be a pastor. I went to Pastor Chuck, and I remember telling him this. I said, Pastor Chuck, I says, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know if I'm called to be a pastor. But how long have you been going to church?
Since I was 2 weeks old, he told me.
Wow, that's a long time. I says, well, give me something. I'm like starting out. Give me something in ministry. And this is what he said. Simply teach the word simply. And love the people beyond measure. Make sure they're the best fed and best loved sheep. Don't focus on building an empire. Focus on ministering to these people. Because God's entrusting you with what belongs to him. You know, those words ring very true to me. That all that we get to do is God's given us charge and care of something that doesn't belong to us. Like when David told Solomon, remember that in 1 Kings 2, prove yourself a man. He told that to Solomon before he became king. To take the word of the Lord. Why? Because the kingdom never belonged to David. It never belonged to Saul. The kingdom never belonged to any of the kings of Israel. The kingdom always belonged to God. He says, take care of what doesn't belong to you. And you know, in the same way that the ministry doesn't belong to you, you guys ready for this? You don't even belong to you anymore. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're his. We're his. Rejoice in that. Something the enemy can't take from you. Something that doubt and discouragement can't take from you. Rest in that. And just say, man, Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve here in this capacity. To be a blessing. And everything you've done. They that labor in the Lord labor not in vain. God sees every single bit of it. And the things that God needs to work out, he's going to do it. And you guys are blessed. Think of it. Look at us. Look at us in here. Like we're doing a work for the Lord. Amen? When we have leadership meetings, I look around and I'm just like, oh Lord, this is good. This is going to be really fun. And you know what? Ministry always is. I've never been discouraged with it. I've always loved it. The only times I'm discouraged is when I get in the way and I get outside of God's will. The Lord always has a way of bringing me back and saying, David, just focus. This could be a whole lot easier if you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. So I want to do that. I want to pray over you guys. I want to pray for the Lord to give you a fresh outpouring and work of the Spirit. So that we could receive those words that were given to Zerubbabel. And he was able to get back and take care of business. If you notice, he was on a 15-16 year hiatus when that word came to him. He stopped doing the work of the Lord. And with that encouragement, he was able to finish what God called him to do. We are in the last days. I want to finish well. I don't know about you guys, but if you desire to, and we just need a fresh outpouring, why don't you stand to your feet so I can pray with you right now. Father, we are standing because of you. We are standing because your word spoke to us. Dennis, Mike, Michael, the worship, the encouragement from Pastor Rawl, all this today has all been you. We serve you, Lord. And in the process, you empower us to serve others. We don't get anything out of it other than that you get the glory in it all. Help us to be more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. Forgive us of our sins. May your word restore our minds and our hearts. May we bring things back into perspective like when we first came to faith and we were just excited to do anything for you. Just like Peter and many of the apostles were filled time and time again in the book of Acts. We know the book of Acts continues today, the church. Would you fill us again, Lord? Would you fill us with your Spirit and empower us to go forth and do the work that you've called us to do? And may we walk in the Spirit. May we never look at service for you and to others as I have to, but I get to. Continue to give Rawl, the leadership here, his precious bride and family, wisdom as they serve this community. There's a vision, God, that you've given the shepherd here. And all those that have partnered with him and have called this place their home, may they fall in line with that vision. And say, Pastor, we're here to hold up your arms. We're here to help make this work so that Christ can be exalted. So, Lord, I pray now that you would work mightily, that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Refuge Fellowship here, that you would do a work, that all that was spoken today would be written upon their hearts, that you would bring it to remembrance, that they would be encouraged. That they would be encouraged, Lord, knowing, God, that it's a privilege to serve you. It's a privilege to serve others. It's a privilege to be led by your Spirit. Fill us anew and afresh. May you, Lord, receive all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I went over.